This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. I am a proud dental division director at the CPA firm of Ide Bailey. Our office is in Tustin, California. I've been a dental CPA for 41 years. And I have, in this podcast journey, which is now coming right up on 7 years, I have covered pretty much every topic in dentistry. But one topic that very much concerns me is the topic of anxiety, burnout, and mental health issues that dentists have. Now, I am not a mental health professional. I am not, I don't give advice, I don't do counseling, but my guest today is Dr. Eric Johnson, who is a practicing dentist in San Clemente, California. I've known Dr. Johnson well over 20 years, and he is one of the most well-respected dentists in the country. Dr. Johnson, over the past several years, has taken on the battle to help colleagues with this issue. Dr. Johnson and I were talking about this before we went on air, and approximately two-thirds of dentists suffer from some sort of anxiety. It may even be higher. You know, Dr. Johnson is one of your own. So we're going to talk today about, you know, what is anxiety? How do we figure out if we have it? How does leadership come into all of that? So a lot of really, really good conversation for any of you in Orange County who were on the webinar that we did a couple months ago, which is back in, I think it was in September. Dr. Johnson gave a really fantastic presentation about that. So I'm very hopeful that today we'll provide you some great information on the topic. And if you are someone who might be struggling with some issues in your life and in your practice, Dr. Johnson is available and he'll be able to talk about this. And folks, there's a lot of great help. Not only is it with someone like Dr. Johnson, but also with your local and state dental societies. But before we get to Dr. Johnson, a couple things. I want to thank my wonderful partner in crime, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, Belmont Publishing, and Lorraine Kent and her wonderful team, 140 continuing education courses for a very, very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. We are now at year-end planning time, and in fact, we will be airing in either late November or early December a podcast episode with myself and Don Watson, CPA from our Ide Bailey team, and we're going to talk about year-end tax planning. We already did one on the new tax laws, so we want to make sure that you're covered to try and save as much money as you possibly can, given all the new tax laws that have come into law, especially with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Want to let you know, since we do absolutely have a national audience, I'm very excited. If any of you are going to be at the Chicago Midwinter Conference, I just booked my hotel. I'm speaking there. I believe it is on the Friday. I want to say it's February 19th or 20th. I don't have my calendar in front of me. But if you are going to be at the Chicago Midwinter Meeting, I would love to have you come to my course. I'm doing two courses, one on financial planning and one on the numbers of a dental practice and metrics. Come in, tell me you're a podcast listener. We get that all the time. Real excited about that. We'll be at the dental convention in May in California. I will also be speaking, among other places, at the National Academy of General Dentistry meeting in Las Vegas in June, but that's a long ways away. So anyway, and if you're looking for a dental CPA and you're not getting good service from your CPA, please give us a call. It's 657-279-3243 is my office number, or awiederman@idebailey.com.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, let me introduce my guest, Dr. Eric Johnson. Although he was accepted into medical school in 1997, Dr. Johnson's passion was creating beautiful smiles. He is a highly accomplished dentist. He's been practicing in San Clemente, California. He's got numerous postdoctorate hours of clinical training in aesthetic implant and general dentistry. He was selected for the coveted advanced training at temporal mandibular disorder, porcelain veneers, and prosthodontics. Just dedicated to staying on top of things. He served our country in the United States Air Force, recognized with multiple awards and distinctions, including the Commendation Medal for his meritorious service, and was awarded in 2010 the Top Dentist Award by Consumer Research Council of America, featured as a top 10 dentist in OC Metro. He sounds like a pretty good guy. Is you a pretty good guy? Welcome, Ida Johnson.
First of all, we've known each other. How long?
Probably 20 years.
When we did the practice acquisition. With Dr. Marashi, and I remember having dinner with you and your wife at the Italian restaurant in Santa Monica.
Yep.
And I brought my wife, and so we've had a long friendship, long relationship.
We have. And before we get started on our topic, that night I learned that you had an incredible dental experience. Okay. So Dr. Johnson, I'm going to tee it up for you.
Sure.
Dr. Johnson had the privilege, you had the privilege of creating a smile makeover for the world's tallest man, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. His name was Sultan Kosa.
That's right.
Let's see. It said here that you did it in about 70. He was from, was it Bulgaria?
Turkey.
I was close. I get some latitude as the host of, I can be within at least two or three countries, right? Okay. And so talk about that. I mean, he was how tall?
He was 8'4". So think about an 8-foot ceiling. Oh, he has to lower his head at an 8-foot ceiling, a normal ceiling. And when he leaves the door, the front door, he actually closes it by the top of the door frame. And that's how he doesn't touch the handle.
So I'm thinking, I'm a sports crazed human being, as my audience knows. And I'm just thinking of someone who is 1 foot taller than Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if I said his name right. Wembanyama. I don't think I said it right, but he's 7'4". And I'm thinking of someone 1 foot taller than him, and it's just incredible. So tell us about what that was like.
Yeah. He has 3 world records, largest feet, largest hands, and the tallest individual that's alive.
You know what size shoe he wore?
25.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there's
so to give you context, Shaq wore, I think, an 18 or a 19. So there you go, Shaquille O'Neal.
So my wife was watching a television show on TLC and watching about this, the world's tallest man and how he wanted to get married. And so she came to bed that night and said, you know, I watched this TLC program about the world's tallest man and he really wanted to get married, but his teeth are really jacked up. would you do something for him? And I'm half asleep and I'm like, sure, babe, whatever.
Yeah.
So the next morning she calls Guinness World Records. She had him flying in from Turkey. And literally, we had all the news media out here in San Clemente, sleepy little San Clemente. And he became a really good friend. He's a gentle giant. And so we flew him out, and actually, it was about 4 days. We prepped. He had never been to a dentist, and we did the full mouth and got him all back to speed, and he went back to Turkey, and we actually went to visit him a couple years later.
Did you take out all of his teeth and do a whole full mouth?
You know, what's interesting is that his teeth were normal size.
Okay.
Because acromegaly occurs after puberty, so he just continues to grow, but the teeth are already formed.
Wow.
So he had normal sized teeth, but very big arch, lots of diastema. We had to create another table for him to sit in the dental chair.
Just imagining him.
Yeah.
Well, your operatory, I mean, I don't know if you have like open operatory,
yeah,
or if you have a door. I mean, your door is not 8 feet tall.
No.
But I'm assuming he was a nice man and everybody embraced him. And
yeah, he's become a family member. Like, he's just an amazing giant. Everywhere we went, people wanted to take pictures. And even though he was in a lot of pain, he's 8'4", skinny, but 400 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge. And everywhere you go, people gasp because he's so big. And so, you know, we spent some time with him, and it was like he almost needed a handler. People would get right in front, want to take pictures. He was always so generous with his time. Yeah, very special individual. He's still alive.
And, how old is he now in his, I think, 40s or 50s?
In his 30s.
His 30s, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, God bless you for doing that. I mean, I don't know if he ever ended up getting married, but who knows?
He did.
Well, you know what? Dentists change people's lives. I said that for over 40 years.
That's right.
You are probably the difference. I mean, your wife nailed it and said, you know, he's not going to find anybody with the teeth that he has. And you gave him a gorgeous smile, and you probably had a large contributing factor to him getting married. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, and dentistry is so personal. So yes, you know, we did the full mouth, lots of porcelain, root canals and implants, but more importantly, he became a friend. And I think that's what dentistry offers us, is that it's so much more than the porcelain, but it's the connection and the relationship that we have with our team and we have with our patients, and ultimately our relationship with ourselves. And that's where the self-awareness and self-leadership comes in.
Well, we're going to get into all of that. First, let's start off, you know, we talked about, that was a very cool story, by the way.
Yeah.
Tell us about your professional journey. You went to dental school, and I also want you to make sure you talk about your the degree you just got. We'll cover that too.
Well, let's see. So I was raised, my dad was a pastor. And so he was a pastor for 45 years. And I don't ever remember going to the dentist as a kid, not once.
Oh, wow.
Not once. So my dental experience was none. I didn't have any experience. You know, it wasn't in my parents' framework to send us to the dentist, but believe it or not, I didn't have a single cavity. I think it has to do with our family and the way...
Maybe genetics or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have soda, you know, a long time ago. But anyways, so I didn't want to be a pastor, so I went to school and I was a pre-med student and worked hard. And my senior year, my dad got prostate cancer. And so I decided I was going to go to Guatemala and take some time off and work with a medical missionary there and do free medicine up with the Quiche Indians. And during that time, my dad got sick. So I came home and a lady said, "Hey, we have a local church about 30 miles away with 15 kids. What do you think if you come and hang out with us for a summer for 3 months?" And at the time, my dad was in, he had a prostatectomy. I was hanging wooden shutters. I was like, sure, I'll hang out with these kids. And 3 months turned into 3 years. And during that time, I grew a lot. I began to understand kids, teenagers. I started developing this idea that the most satisfied people in life are the people that give to others and help others have a better quality of life. And I began learning that in my early 20s.
You nailed that. Absolutely.
So I went to Pepperdine, got a full ride there to do a master's program. And during that time, I worked with some inner city children in Culver City and got married. I met my bride. She was my intern. And so we had a really good relationship there. And and then one day, after we got married, my wife's like, you need to get a job.
She said that after you got married, not before.
Correct. So when I was working these inner city kids, I was making any money. I mean, I couldn't support as hard as she was working. I did get accepted in med school, but I literally went down to the library at Santa Monica College, opened up the occupational handbook at 31 years old. And I said, what do I want to do with my life at 31? I've had this history of the past 9 years working with people, and I know that that's the juice in life. The juice, the secret sauce in life is how can I help people have a better life? Because it comes back tenfold for us.
Yes.
And so I started looking at optometry. Now, remember, I never had a dental. I didn't know you have a dentist, right?
It hadn't been the dentist. No cavities, but hadn't been the dentist. Okay.
Probably at that time, I had a cleaning because I was probably 25 as an adult. But and I looked at optometry. I looked at medicine. And I looked at dentistry. I was like, huh. Dentistry, you're the top 4% income earners, you're the top 4% education, and you get to work with your hands and you own your own business. I think I'm going to go to dental school.
And you get to help people.
So I came home and I said, hey, Krista, I think I'm going to go to dental school now at 31. And she's like, okay. And so there was this thing called the DAT. I knew nothing about a DAT. And I applied to USC and they were smart enough to get me in. And so I went to dental school at SC for 4 years, and then I went to the United States Air Force to pay for my debt. So thank you, Art. You paid for my debt. I appreciate all my listeners. Thank you very much.
No problem. I just filed my taxes a couple of weeks ago. So there you go.
There you go. Thank you.
All right.
And so that's been my journey. And, you know, some of the best things in life you just stumble into. And I stumbled into it and I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, to your listeners, sometimes, you know, the alternative is even better than you expected. And sometimes you end up in life where you're like, how did I get here? I think part of it has to do with good leads to good. You just keep making good choices. You surround yourself with good people. You have good intent and you take some risks. And sure enough, I got out of the Air Force. I found this wonderful practice. Phil Potter, your buddy, was there for 31 years. So he created a culture that fits me. It's a match. Dr. John Marashi, you know, was there for 4 years. We were a match and I had no experience, no money. I could hardly learn how to do dentistry. I was 3 years out of school and I jumped into a fast swimming river. The bank loaned me tons of money. They believed in me. Art, you believed in me. Phil believed in me. John believed in me. And my patients stuck with me and they believed with me. And I worked really, really hard.
Yeah. And you have, and you built an amazing dental practice. And I'm very glad that I was able to be at least part of one of the people that helped you get to where you are today, at least got you started, and you did the rest of the work. And the thing about dentists, Dr. Johnson, is that they are giving human beings. Every dentist I talk to, I've had the opportunity to talk to thousands of dentists.
Sure.
And it's all about helping people. That's what it is. I meet very few dentists. All right, well, I'm doing this because I'm going to make as much money as I can. That's not why you become a dentist. That's absolutely not. That's another podcast, but I want to get to this because this is really important stuff. So I want to start this conversation about talking about burnout.
Okay.
And that's a word that we're hearing more and more, not only in dentistry, but in a lot of the professions. I always do my homework before I do a podcast. You define burnout as, quote, an overwhelming sense of depletion and emotional exhaustion that can cripple the most passionate individuals. So let's start off, Dr. Johnson, talking about how can a dentist in practice, how can they prevent themselves from burning out and from losing the passion for being a dentist? Let's start with that.
Let's unravel that. Great question. So for all the listeners out there, you know, the bio sounds really good. And, you know, I talk about how I bought this practice and I've actually bought three practices. But you know what, Art? I'm in the trenches as much as all of your listeners are. And so when I bought the practice in 2010 and I said, I jumped in a fast moving river, I literally meant that, where I would walk the halls at midnight And I would wax up my own cosmetic cases. I would prep the stone before a cosmetic case. I called all my patients before I went home, before we had texting. I was in the center of this practice, and it took 6 years before I almost screwed it up.
6 years. So what happened after 6 years?
The accumulation of chronic stress. The accumulation of not managing the chronic stress well. So if the listeners are out there going, okay, well, I hear, you know, how great dentistry is. I hear all the stats how it's the ninth best profession in the United States, but how come I hate it? How come I can't stand going to work? How come I just want to run to my office? I can't stand patients. I can't stand my employees. I doubt myself and I doubt the profession. Well, 6 years after I bought the practice, I was there.
Just an accumulation of everything for 6 years hits you.
When you don't manage chronic stress well, your body and your mind will keep score. And if you're not listening to the whispers of your body during that time, it will keep score and your mind and body will begin to have a normal response to that, which is called disengagement. It's called self-preservation. And in 2016-17, I went through a really dark period where I could not, things were blurry for me. I could not find meaning in dentistry. I could not find meaning in my relationship with my wife. I was disconnected. I was forming bad habits. I was really in a, it was a really dark time in my life.
What did you do?
Well, you know, I wanted to run for the hills. I wanted to leave it all. And one of the sayings that I've used since that time is don't act crazy when you feel crazy, because we all will feel crazy. If you're listening right now, when you feel crazy, you are normal. And that's a part of the process. And so I had a very strong wife who was not going to tolerate any of this stuff. And through my faith and through my wife and through counseling and beginning to take a look at myself, because you can't change anything if you don't look at yourself. To continuously blame others and not take self-responsibility for your part in the problem, you won't get better. And that's what I began to do. And so I worked through it. And it took me a couple years to work through. I began to get up early, Art. And I began to move. I began to think. And I began to reflect. I worked out. I journaled. I reflected. And I set my goals. And I was reading. I was filling my mind and filling my spirit with things that where I wanted to go.
So talk about, okay, you're very, to me, you're very brave to share this on the, basically on the internet to thousands of dentists who are listening. If someone is listening out there, what are some of the signs that they should be looking for to say, I might be heading down this road? Anxiety, depression. What are some of the signs that the body and the mind give you?
Well, you know, there are acute and chronic stressors. We call them pebble in our shoes. You know, those things that just annoy you. You know, they just, maybe by themselves, they don't cut your foot off, but they're just annoying. And they begin to accumulate. And if we don't deal with those, it's like a funnel where, all right, well, I used to do hobbies, but I don't do hobbies anymore. I used to hang out with my friends socially, but who's got time for that, Art? I used to go and do restorative processes. I used to go do yoga, do art, but you know, who's got time for that? I don't have the energy for that. And what happens is we begin, it's the emotional cycle, a funnel where it becomes more narrow and we find ourselves tired all the time. Not the kind of tired where you just need a good night's sleep, but it's a tired where you become foggy. And you're not able to make choices, and you have decision fatigue, and you have no motivation to get up. I'm working with a dentist. She literally says she has these phases where she lays in bed and she cannot move. She is so exhausted emotionally and physically. Okay. And it's in this exhaustion where it's not, the level of exhaustion doesn't match you know, your lifestyle. There's something else going on. And so that exhaustion leads to cynicism. You begin to become cynical and you begin to doubt everybody around you. You throw your instruments, you speak abruptly to your assistants, you snap at the front office, you snap at your patients. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody wants to do any treatment. The insurance is, it's their fault. And you become very cynical and you doubt your profession and you doubt yourself. And Art, who wants to hang out with somebody like that?
No, we don't.
And then what happens is that you decrease personal achievement. So patients are not saying yes to treatment. You have high staff turnover because nobody wants to be around a grump and a cynical person. And all of a sudden, your numbers are down. Your days are stressful. You have high overhead because you have decreased personal achievement because you're cynical because you're chronically exhausted. It's a well-proven cycle. It's the triad.
So I know that in your work, you talk a lot about leadership.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that we get to some, not just saying this is what happens, but what can we do about it? Because that's what I want this podcast to be about, because this is very important information.
Let's do it.
But let's talk about leadership. How do you think mastering leadership in a dental office, on top of, you know, some of the other things we've been talking about, can prevent burnout and actually boost profitability?
Okay. So after I went through that dark phase in 2016-17, Art, it was such a significant experience for me. I wanted to do something about it. And so I got my doctorate, my second doctorate at the University of Laverne in leadership. And during that time, I focused my research on engagement and leadership in dentists. I spent 3,000 hours studying this topic. And I kept on asking, what are the leaders in our industry doing? What are they? How do they stay engaged? Because engagement is the opposite end of the spectrum is burnout, which is disengagement. How do these leading dentists stay engaged when they have the trenches just like I do? What do they do? And so I began researching, and guess what I found?
What did you find?
Very little studying on how to manage chronic stress. What I did find are study after study after study on what causes it, what are the implications, what are the frequencies. But in my research, I said, all right, Art, what are the resources that we have to mitigate the chronic stress and burnout? And this is what I came up with. So what I did is I did a qualitative study and I went to Orange County Dental Society and I said, give me one leader. Snowball sampling, who you think is engaged. And they sent me that leader and I interviewed them and they qualified as an engaged dentist. And I came up with the metrics and they gave me another dentist who they, and so I interviewed 10 dentists who were engaged. And one thing they all had in common is that they were able to look at the stressors that they had in their practices and were able to cognitively reframe what was going on. And I'll give you an example. Somebody writes a bad review. Instead of saying they're a bad dentist, they look at that bad review and they cognitively reframe it by going, what in the world could we have done better? It doesn't mean I'm a bad dentist or we have a bad office. There's things that a patient was unhappy and how can we get better? How can I do a better clinical outcome next time? How can I improve my communication to my patient? They did not internalize them as a broken, desperate dentist, but rather they were able to look at this situation and go, what can we do better next time?
So they took a negative that could have really driven a stake into their heart saying, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, and exacerbated the anxiety and said,
yep.
Okay. This happens.
Yep.
Now, how can we make it better the next time?
So I was in 2016, every critical clinical failure was a reflection of my personhood. And it really built, and that's what really broke me in 2016-17. Okay. And so I looked at this, I said, okay, so did I just interview like the most positive 10 people on the planet? Like, how in the world? So I dug deeper, Art. I said, okay, cognitive reframing. How did they learn to reframe? And I came up with, they pretty much were able, they had incredible support professionally and personally. And their professional support was their workplace. These people had great teams among them. They had a lot of support. And they had formal support through organizations like Orange County Dental and CDA and ADA. And they went to these formal organizations, but they also had informal support. I had one dentist that had a dentist buddy, and she just purged every day on the way from the office. And getting it out and just knowing you're not alone and knowing that somebody else understands, you just vomit your emotion. You get it out. And studies show that if you can just communicate and connect for a little bit, it has a lasting impact of a couple months.
Wow.
One little conversation, Art.
Well, and let me ask you another question, Dr. Johnson. So I would assume that a dental team knows if a doctor's got these issues, right? You think so?
Yeah.
So, and the dentist who is supposedly the leader is probably in many cases, and you tell me if I'm wrong, they might be embarrassed or ashamed to go to their team and say, hey guys, I need your help.
Yeah.
I'm having some issues.
Yeah.
And isn't that what they should be doing?
Well, you know, it's like the frog in the kettle as the water heats up. You just, you know, you don't realize how bad it is. You know, you think this is the normal. And Art, when's the last time a CPA organization tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, Art, how's your mental wellness? How's your burnout? How's your anxiety? Right?
Uh-huh.
How you doing on the inside? Because remember, what we do or who we are on the inside is just as important as what we do on the outside.
We had a speaker come to our National Dental CPA meeting and talk about burnout. I think I mentioned who that was. And I'll tell you what, everybody was taking notes because it's any of the professions, CPA, attorney, architect, dentist, physician. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy because everything you do is demanding and everybody wants a better result. And it's just crazy and stuff. So I've said for years in my lectures, Dr. Johnson, dentists don't just fix people's teeth. And I've said this on this podcast dozens of times. They're about a better life, a better job, a better relationship, and a better self-esteem for their patients. I mean, I lecture on that. I'm sure you do too. You've spoken to dentists about how to not only restore oral health, but empower them to face the world with self-assurance and confidence. Talk about how dentists make a difference in their work.
Yeah,
a little bit earlier.
You know, yesterday there was a gentleman, he's a father of two, a sports enthusiast. He had a bombed out 18. And I'm trying to save this tooth and we're dismissing. And this was about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And he said something about baseball. And when he swings a bat, he has some pain in his chest. And I'm telling you, Art, I don't know what it was. I've had these moments where I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I just had this pain. I think I have a pulled muscle. And I'm telling you, and I was making this temporary and I was like, what? And it just did not, I don't know. It just didn't feel right. And I said, yeah. Go get that checked out. He's, you know, my baseball buddies, they just said I'm fat and I'm overweight and I'm not flexible. Long story short, he had a triple bypass. He was supposed to go on a cruise. His widowmaker was 90% occluded.
God, I had a friend like that and they fortunately caught it within 24 hours. Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
He said, the physician said if he had gone on the cruise, he would have died on the cruise. Now, I say that, not that I saved his life. God gave me two ears and one mouth. We listen twice as much as we speak. And if we listen to what the body needs, we listen to what our team needs, listen to what our patients need. He was throwing it out there that something wasn't right. And if we just stop and listen to our people, and Art, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Stop and listen to ourselves. Listen to the whispers of our body. The accumulation, that's the leadership. That's connecting with ourselves, knowing that their inner world impacts our outer world. We can't serve our people if we can't serve ourselves. It's not selfish to take care of ourselves. You can't serve out of an empty dish. But once we care enough about ourselves, we'll be able to care about people who care for our people, who care for our patients. And these dentists that I studied, they invested in their team as one of the most significant support systems to manage chronic stress. Our teams are not a liability, but they are our strongest asset, where we become the thermostat. Okay, we set the temperature, the culture. We set the leadership standards. And those who follow us, you know, are thermometers. They reflect of what we are able to do. And dentists have such a great opportunity because, you know, a lot of us own our own practices. So we have autonomy. We're in the driving range where we can make the differences in the culture and create a better match between the worker and the workplace. I'm so pumped about this.
I can tell. And you're absolutely right, because the doctors that treat their teams with respect,
yep,
they don't sympathize, they empathize, and they listen and they care about their people. Okay, it doesn't mean that you have to go and have a conversation and listen for 2 hours about Susie's marital problems. That's not what you're there for. But what you're there for is to say, I care. I want to help you. How can I make your life in this job better? And if you do that and you then have a problem, these people will help you like no other. I mean, and that's it. Whereas if you are just a total jerk as a boss and you catch everybody doing something wrong as opposed to doing something right, and you don't treat them with respect, and you don't recognize that they have lives and things happen and life happens, then they couldn't care less about you. That's a really, really good point about being a leader in team. So I know that you believe it takes more than technical skills to be a good dentist. It demands a unique blend of knowledge and empathy and commitment to patient care, and that this is very important. And a good dentist understands the values of communication and empathy. Talk about communication and empathy. And then I want you to talk a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. I like to give you listeners an acronym. Okay.
Absolutely.
I would say after 3,000 hours of clinical studies, I can sum my research up with the word of connectivity.
Okay.
Connectivity with our peers, our team, our patients, and most importantly with ourselves. And that I can unwrap that. But I want to give you an acronym of the word trust. And you use that word. Okay. So trust. So listeners, listen. You want to build a team that has high levels of trust. It starts with transparency. And transparency of knowing that you don't have it all together. And I really do need your support. And I need your back. And I want you to know that, you know, I'm a work in progress as well. And respect. And knowing that, you know, you're showing respect to your employees and your patients. How about a please? How about a thank you? How about the small wins? After a huddle, you actually spend a moment acknowledging one another, or even on horizontal leadership, they honor one another. How about understand for the T-R-U-S-T? The understand part is, how about stop and say, how you doing? So we have people in our practice have different cultures, different religions, different holidays, different dress. Why don't we seek and try to understand what our team members are going through? And support them. Actually, when you actually hear them, you don't just listen and walk away. You go, wow, how can you, need to come a little bit later? Do you need to leave a little bit earlier? Do you need to take the day off? How can I support you in this? And then our team needs to be trained. That's one of the things I found in my research, is that you can't expect your people on your team to perform at a high level without training and communicating expectations.
Absolutely.
So it's a simple acronym of transparency. Be humble. You don't have it all together. Respect by actually honoring people around you that are working really hard for you and your patients, and try to seek to understand and support people around you, and actually go out of your way. Little things mean a lot. And then continuously pour into new training, and this all leads to engagement.
Yeah, and learning new things.
New things.
New technologies, new methods. But being compassionate, I'll share a story. I might have shared this once or twice in 7 years. I've probably told all my stories in 7 years.
Okay.
Is in the middle of March, right? The middle of tax season. One of my wonderful, wonderful dear employees who ended up working for me for years and years and years, she was afraid to come into me. So one of my partner came in and said, I'm not going to mention names, but so our team member, her dad is dying overseas and she needs to go see him now. And what do you think? And I immediately said, okay, let's get the team together. Let's get in the conference room for a couple minutes and we'll just call her XYZ, this employee. Y'all know what's going on with her. How are we going to make this work? She's going to go see her family. That's a non-issue.
That's good.
And that's and I'm proud of the fact I did a lot of that. And that's what leaders need to do is they recognize that life happens and people have happened. And if you do things like that, your team will follow you to the promised land, right?
And they will stick with you. I mean, like I'm in the trenches and stuff just happens. Right. Like things that you do your very best and it's still not good enough. If you don't have a team that has good support and has your back or you have their back when it hits the fan,
right,
then you're really going to have a level of chronic stress.
Yep.
Hey, Art, can I share something with you?
I want
the listeners also understand, you know, we often put the responsibility of wellness on the shoulders of the workers. But in my research, I'm understanding that's not just the restorative wellness of the worker, but it's also the match between the worker and the workplace. Meaning, it's just as important for us to go do yoga and eat well as much as it is to create a culture within the organization that supports the workers. You can go on vacation, but you go back on 10 a.m. on Monday to a toxic workplace, you've lost your vacation buzz by 10 a.m.
Yep.
And there are well-established markers in a dental practice that dentists can identify and begin working on them on Monday morning. Do you want to hear what they are?
Sure.
Six of them. At least six. Number one, a community. If there's a mismatch between the dentist and their employees, there's going to be chronic stress there. It could be a workplace bully. It could be somebody who's not believing, buying into the culture. But if you don't have a community that is supportive, front office taking care of the back office taking care of the front office, the hygienists take care of the assistants take care of the hygienists. We all as one. We all, just like my football team that I'm coaching, when one catches the ball, we all catch the ball. We all drop the ball. When one drops it, we all drop it. We all score. We play as one. If you don't have a community, Monday morning, you begin to work on that community. Before that match is made, you're going to have chronic stress. If there's value mismatch, if you're working in an organization and they say, you know what, Art, we value patience. Behind closed doors, it's about production numbers. It's about metrics. And there's an inconsistency. We talk about patients behind closed doors and derogatory terms, but we say that we really value patients. That's a mismatch.
Yep.
And what about fairness? So if you got some employees that are thriving and they're being elevated and they're being rewarded and they're being recognized and you feel like, what about me? I'm working hard. Nobody. And then all of a sudden there is this mismatch between favoritism and fairness, and you're constantly, I don't care how much yoga you're going to do and how many vegetables you're going to eat, Art. If you're in an organization, there's a lack of fairness. There's a lack of values, a mismatch of values. There's not a community. You don't have autonomy, Art, where you can make your own choices. You're told to go to work, do your job, but don't ask questions. There's no transparency in how the decisions are made. You're going to have a mismatch. If there is an overload of workload, where you have too much work and under-resourced, your assistants are not trained, you don't have enough time, you've triple-booked your patients because you're taking low reimbursement insurances, there's going to be a mismatch. And so it's not just the restorative wellness of the employees, but it's the leader dentist looking at these values within an organization and going, which one of those can I begin to work on Monday morning so that it's a better match between the workers and the workplace.
Well, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So I know, Dr. Johnson, you do consulting in this area.
I do.
So what I want you to do is take a minute. And again, folks, remember that Dr. Johnson does this work not because he's looking to make a gazillion dollars. He does this work because he cares about people. As I've known the man for 20 years, and I know he's helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So talk about what you do in your work, and how people can participate. And then I want to spend the rest of our time together talking about maybe some resources and things that people can do, because they're listening and you're telling them all these things. And then they're going, I need help. Where do I get this help? So we're going to get to that in a second. But talk about the work that you do with your consulting that you do outside of your dental practice on this, on these issues.
So there's a great book that talks about the half-life of a profession, which means that there's a certain number of years where you begin to change, whether it's your values or with your body. And so after I graduated with a doctorate of leadership at University of Laverne, Art, I think you and I talked about this, that I'm transitioning from a period of success to my second curve, which is to significance. And so I want to get back to my profession that's given so much to me and my family. And so I've accomplished a lot of things in business. I want to get back. And so my thought was, after I graduated, what can I do to help dentists manage when they feel crazy and not to act crazy when they feel it, and how to manage this chronic stress? So Leaders in Dentistry is an organization. It simply is, if you feel alone, I just want you to know you're not. If you're feeling dysregulated, it's not a character flaw. If you're feeling burned out, it's not a moral failure. If you're feeling tired and cynical, it's not a weakness. It's a normal response. And connectivity is the key to this. So Leaders in Dentistry is a group where dentists just like you and me, we get together and we actually feed off each other like a think tank. And we pour into our hearts and minds, and we come up with new ideas. We lay our stuff out, transparency. And you know, it's amazing what people share, how transparent, how honored I am to hear what they have to share. And you wouldn't believe how many people go, you know what, Art, I've had that. I feel that way. Me too. Whatever you do. Well, this is what I've done. And there's affinity groups, and there's all kinds of things that we can do. So that's what Leaders in Dentistry is about. Your listeners, we're going to offer is, you know, if you at info@leadersofdentistry.com, you can get a free 30-minute leadership consultation with me. I'd love to meet you. We could talk about what your goals are. I do team coaching. I go in offices and we talk about the mismatches. We try to identify, you know, what is off in the culture, and can we address one thing? We talk about horizontal leadership. We talk about vertical leadership. There's so many things we got to unravel, but the brilliancy is in group dynamics, and that's my area of specialty.
Do you find that when you start talking to folks who engage you, that they're willing, because they have to be willing to make significant changes in their lives and their actions and everything? Do you find that they're open to that?
You know, Jim Rohn, one of my mentors this past, he would speak to 1,000 people, and he'd say, 1,000 of you, 99% of you will be just the way you are a year from now, and you'll come back to my conference. Only 1% of you will change. 1% of you will make movement to be different. He says it's a mystery on why we don't change. It's magic when we do. And he says, I don't know why some of you stay and don't change and some of you do change. And that's the same with me. It's people come and they make changes, and why we change and why we don't, I think it's a mystery. And my goal is to constantly speak into the lives and make this connection till the light bulb drops on. And we're like, you know, I'm tired of being cynical. I'm tired of this and I need some help.
I'm convinced, Dr. Johnson, that people will make major changes in their life once they have an aha moment. It's kind of like when you present a treatment plan to a patient and you know that they need to do this, but they're not going to do it when you're ready. They're going to do it when they're ready.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about one of your colleagues, you know, when the pain gets to be enough that they're finally going to say, I need to do something, that's when they do it.
And they need to know what to do.
And they need to know what to do. So we're going to talk about that in the rest. I've got a couple of other things I want to cover. And then I want you, we're going to end this thing with with the resources and stuff. And by the way, I know that the Orange County Dental Society has a wellness seminar every year.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be coming up in, I think, maybe January or February. So
January.
Doctors, you need to, if you're in Orange County, call Shaylin Robbers, who's my buddy and my friend, the executive director over there. She's awesome. Get signed up for that. If you're in any other part of the country, call your local society, your state component society, call the ADA. They've all got resources. We're just going to talk about it in a minute. I want to hit on a couple more things before I let you go. I want to talk about dentists creating safe environments beyond the clinical area regarding patient and team emotional well-being. We've touched on it a little bit, but maybe just some advice for our doctors on how they can create a safe environment that patients and team members feel safe.
You know, I would say that the thing that I'll speak from personal experience, the thing that really was the change for me was transparency. When a dentist is transparent, when the leader is transparent of growth opportunities, Art, what do you think happens with the followers?
Oh, I mean, they'll go to the promised land with them. They believe in them.
They trust them more and they believe in them more. I was working with a dentist and he said, you know, I've never thought about transparency being a strength. I always thought being transparent and not having it all together, you know, was a weakness. And once I began to expose that I am in process as much as you are, I'm telling you, if you want to create a safe place, open up just a little bit to your team and said, wow, that was a really hard procedure for me. That really challenged me. That conversation with that patient who was upset about that onlay that didn't get coverage and the insurance denied it and they wanted to call it an amalgam and they left the practice, that was really hard for me. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, Dr. So-and-so, you bet I got his back. And all of a sudden, it's okay to make mistakes because you're not going to get yelled at. It's okay to be, you know, honest with that, and people are going to work harder. So to me, I think it starts with a level of transparency that requires an incredible amount of courage.
I love it.
You got to have confidence and balls to be able to open up to your team and say, you know what? I don't have it all together and I really need you guys. You guys make my day.
I need your help.
I need your help.
You can say that as the leader of your family. You can say that as the leader of your practice.
Yep.
You can say that as the leader of your community. All right. One more thing. And then I want to talk about resources. Okay. In one of your blog posts, you quote the book Atomic Habits, where habit stacking is discussed. What is habit stacking? I found that interesting. What are some of the areas that a dentist should, as we're coming to a new year, should be setting goals in? And I think you talked about five of them, but talk about that.
So when I went through that period and I told you I got up at 5:09, and don't ask me why 5:09, it just makes sense to me. But I got up at 5:09, I began to move, I began to think, and I began to reflect. And I started journaling, and I have a journal. I recommend all the dentists out there, all the team members, get a journal and write down things your patients say. And I'm writing a book about the things I've learned in my practice. My patients are brilliant. They say brilliant things to me. I'll never remember them. But the book is called A Little Bit of the Right Stuff Every Day.
I love it.
A little bit, not a lot, Art. Little bit of the right stuff. I've done some of the wrong stuff. With a little bit of the right stuff, not once in a while, but every day. So the atomic habit, the compound is, as please can I have that 557 burr? Thank you. I appreciate you. I make an effort to appreciate my dental assistant in front of the patient after every treatment. I'll say, wasn't Sarah amazing? Didn't she take good care of you today? Didn't Christy do amazing? Isn't this hygienist the best hygienist you've ever worked with? Isn't Emily and Shirley and Rachel, don't they care about you? And I'm saying this in front of the patient as well as my team member. And you better believe they feel like $1 million.
Yep.
That's building upon building upon building upon building. Do I mean it? Absolutely. Am I lying? Absolutely not. but I'm learning to communicate what is real. And so in that concept, it's building upon building of like saying, you know, after huddle, maybe building on that, saying, thank you for everybody. Yesterday was a long day. Thanks for staying late. Thanks for working through your lunch. I'm going to buy everybody coffee today or whatever it is.
Yep. All right. I want to put a bow on this. This is fantastic. I mean, you are obviously incredibly passionate about this. You've helped a lot of people. You've helped a lot of patients in your practice. I've met your wife. You've got an amazing wife and family. Let's now talk about the 2/3 of the dentists that I brought up at the beginning who might be having anxiety issues. Okay. They listen to this podcast. I know they should give you a call, but what actions, what help is out there for dentists, not only in Southern California, but all over the country? Give us some places that dentists can go, some resources that they can look at. I mean, obviously you're one of them and you were kind enough to offer a complimentary conversation with them, but what are some other things that dentists should be doing when they're saying, you know what, I listened to this podcast, that's me, and I need to do something. I'm having my aha moment. It's time to make a change. What do we do?
Okay, friends, dentists, listen to me. I'm in the trenches. We will spend 90,000 hours of our lifetime doing what we do. That's 1/3 of our waking hours, people. And dentistry is hard work. Don't let anybody tell you it's not hard work. Between the administrative and the clinical, it is a lot of hard work. But listen to me, it is work worth doing. It is work worth doing. It's changing people's lives and it's changing our own lives. We are a healer, we're a leader, and we're a human being, not just a human doing, which means that it helps us grow. So it is work worth doing. And I want you to know that if you're feeling despair and you're feeling burned out and you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling anxious and you're feeling depressed, you're not alone. It is more of us feel it than not. And I just want you to know you're not alone. You're not isolated. There's nothing wrong with you, but you have to own it and you have to own it and you have to call it and you have to reflect on it and you have to be willing to do something about it. Something's got to change or nothing's going to change. And so the most simple thing you can do is find a buddy. Find a dental buddy. That's the most basic thing you can do, is find another dentist who understands you. A dentist understands a dentist, and start reaching out to somebody that you know and start talking about some of this stuff. And there are professional organizations. American Dental Association has the health wellness program. My buddy, Brett Kessler, who's the active president of
American Dental. President, Dr. Kessler, wonderful man.
He was on my dissertation.
Ah.
So he was on my committee. I had to defend my research in front of the American Dental Association president.
Wow.
This dude flew in from Cologne, Germany all night. He met with the Surgeon General in the morning and sat on my dissertation committee in the afternoon.
Wow.
And he says, it is okay not to be okay. And this week marks his 27th year of sobriety. And he says that if I can be sober and the president of the American Dental Association, so can you.
That kind of puts a bow on everything.
Right?
I did not know that, but that is awesome. And that's the thing, is that dentists, the 200,000 dentists in the United States, they are a community.
We're
all going through. What?
212,000 dentists.
Now there's more than, okay. I round, I'm a CPM allowed to round these numbers. Okay. But anyway, the point is that you're a community and you're caring people, but nobody seems to care, or at least you don't perceive about you, and people do care about you. And that's the way it is. So one more time, Dr. Johnson, I wish we could spend another 3 hours talking about this, because this is really amazing stuff. And you are an amazing man, and I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored that you came onto my podcast. Tell me about, again, your group that you work with and what the website is.
Sure. One last plug, Orange County Dental. If you're in Orange County, January, we're having a summit. It's our third summit. I am the wellness chairman for Orange County. I work directly as a volunteer for all the dentists in Orange County. If you ever have issues, you ever want to talk, call me. My number is 949-456-4166. My personal email is smilesmile@drericjohnson.com. That's DRERICJOHNSON.com. If you're interested in becoming a cohort in Leaders in Dentistry, that's info@leadersindentistry.com. I just flew to Sacramento, Art, last Friday on a state level. The California Dental Association is reaching out. They're doing more and more with wellness. They're adding more resources and more money. Orange County is doing, this is becoming, from top down, we're becoming more aware that it's okay not to be okay. That we need each other. We need connectivity. We need to support each other. And that, you know, finding a meaning in dentistry again is possible. If you've lost the meaning, it is possible to become the healer, leader, and thriving human being that you were meant to be.
You're an amazing human, and thank you for everything you do for your profession and for mankind. And I know I had Dr. Max Martinez, who's the president of the California Dental Association, on my podcast about 3 months ago, and the leadership in organized dentistry. And I have been preaching doctors for years and years and years. Get involved in organized dentistry. Help your profession. Look at all the challenges that you have. When I was started in dentistry in the 80s, when you started in dentistry, you know, we didn't have PPOs and we didn't have all these kinds of things to deal with that we have to deal with now. And it's not easy. Nope. But the thing about dentists is that they stick together and they help each other. And that's part of what Dr. Johnson is talking about. So, you know, go to his website, give him a call. It'll be in the show notes. Dr. Eric Johnson, please hang out with me as I take the podcast out. Thank you so much for your time and for what you've done
for
your profession.
My pleasure.
You are a textbook example of someone who has really embraced their profession and has done not only just the job of making a living and owning a practice, but have gone above and beyond that. So just hang with me as I take this out. Boy, that was fun, folks. I love helping people. I love helping people. This profession has allowed me to raise a family, make a living for over 40 years. Dentists are some of the kindest, most wonderful humans I know. Many of them are my good friends. I'm honored to be serving your profession, and it's tough. And just remember, and the whole point of this podcast is there is help. If you need help, don't be ashamed because you're not alone.
Right.
So with that said, I want to thank my wonderful sponsor, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com, 140 CE courses at an amazing price, low price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you're looking for a dental CPA, we got your back at Ide Bailey, my team with Don Watson and Henry Assatorian. They're as good as it gets. Call me at 657-279-3243. Send me an email if you have any questions or comments about any of these podcasts. awiederman@idebailey.com. That's awiederman@idebailey.com. Listen for our upcoming podcast. We got, I'm excited. We're going to have Rachel Wall from Inspired Hygiene talking about what's going on hygiene. Don Watson and I are going to be talking about urine tax planning. We've got one coming up on insurance. And then I've got some really cool stuff coming up in 2026. I'm very excited about what we've got coming up on the podcast. And again, if you're in Chicago in February, I'll be at the midwinter meeting speaking. I have a puffy coat, a heavy jacket. I will be ready. And then in June, end of June, I'll be at the AGD meeting at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. So with that said, Dr. Eric Johnson, thank you so much. Please, again, hang with me for a minute as I take this out. And to all of you, all of my wonderful, wonderful thousands of listeners all over the country, I am honored and humbled to be able to say that I've tried to help and give you information. A podcast is a call to action. And if I can say that even I had one dentist who listened to this podcast today with Dr. Johnson, and maybe it changed your life, then it changes my life. And I'm excited for your journey going forward. With that said, everyone, this is Art Wiederman on behalf of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with artwiederman.com. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's AWIEDERMAN at EIDEBALLY.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.